live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the new courthouse in Letterkenny has been officially opened this afternoon by Minister for Justice Charlie Flanagan. A fresh appeal for information has been issued over the murder of a 27-year-old man in Castlefin 10 years ago. A protest is to be held outside the Dáil on Wednesday as controversy over the Tory Island ferry continues. And it's being claimed Donegal County Council's gritting programme is too rigid, leaving many busy routes in the county in a treacherous state. Those stories to follow on Phil Plus More, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First in news, the new courthouse in Letterkenny has been officially opened this afternoon by Minister for Justice Charlie Flanagan. Court sittings commenced at the new building on the 2nd of January with a €20 million development including four courtrooms and improved user facilities. Speaking at the official opening, Chief Justice Mr Frank Clark said the new facility reflects the best in modern courthouse design and technology.
This is part of a bundle of seven projects currently nearing completion in a public-private partnership. And I think it must be acknowledged here today that these represent a very significant investment by the state in the sort of modern facilities which are needed for the administration of justice into the future, so that we can provide a suitable environment for those who find themselves with business in the courts for whatever reason, and that they can conduct their business in a dignified and respectful setting. This new courthouse is built to reflect the best of current thinking on courthouse design. We have four courtrooms, all of the necessary associated facilities, waiting areas, consultation rooms, areas for victim support, custody facilities, and also facilities for legal practitioners and Gardaí. And the courtrooms are themselves fitted for the use of modern courtroom technology, including digital audio recording, and in some cases, evidence display and video conferencing. I think that reflects the way of the future in all our courthouses, and it is, I think, a great mark that one of the first court buildings that reflects that modern approach to the conduct of litigation in this age is here in Letterkenny.
Meanwhile, Minister Charlie Flanagan said the investment in the new building reflects the importance of the courthouse and its impact on the community.
A courthouse is a place where life-changing decisions occur on a daily basis. The court deals with many different issues, many complex issues, many delicate and sensitive issues that affect people's lives. So to have a courthouse in the centre of a large town, a place that is modern, a place that is accessible, a place that is user-friendly, is really important.
A fresh appeal for information has been issued over the murder of 27-year-old man in Castlefin 10 years ago today. Andrew Burns died after he was shot on the evening of the 12th of February 2008 at Donnyloop. One person was convicted for his murder, however Gardaí believe that a number of people were involved. Catherine Gaffney reports.
Gardaí said that between 7.05 and 7.15pm on the night of Mr Burns' death, a number of people heard gunshots as they approached Donnyloop village. They then saw a man staggering in the roadway of the village. Gardaí said that another man was seen running towards a nearby church car park. Two cars were seen leaving Donnyloop and travelling in the direction of Clady in County Tyrone. One of the cars is described as either a black or a very dark red-coloured car, while the second car was described as being silver in colour. Gardaí said that many witnesses have come forward, but they believe that people still have information. Anyone who does have information is asked to contact Letterkenny Garda Station on 074 9167 100.
The Taoiseach says he and the British Prime Minister have held constructive talks on restoring power sharing in Northern Ireland. Leo Varadkar has tweeted a photo of their meeting in Belfast, which also covered Brexit. He says they are meeting leaders of the Northern Irish parties next. New Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald will also attend the talks today. Over the weekend, she said she believes a united Ireland will be possible in the near future. But Kevin Doyle, group political editor with Independent News and Media, says that's not on the cards right now for Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil.
Politically, it's a no-no for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, certainly at the minute. Both parties would tell you they want a united Ireland, but both parties would also tell you this is not the time for it. And I suppose all you have to do is look back to when Theresa May thought she had that deal done and the DUP pulled the rug from under it. Sinn Féin have been, I mean, this is their reason for existing, is a united Ireland, but the other parties see it as political opportunism to try and force it through on the back of Brexit.
A protest is to be held outside the Dáil on Wednesday as controversy over the Tory Island ferry continues. Islanders will travel to Dublin and stage a protest calling for a quality service to be provided. From the 1st of April, the 40-year-old Queen of Arran boat will replace the current ferry, which locals claim is purpose-built and better equipped to service the island. Marjorie Carroll, manager of Tory Island Co-op, says a resolution needs to be found.
We're leaving Gortahork at 6:30 in the morning, and we hope to leave again Dublin around 4 p.m. We all know it's been all over the papers and social media sites in recent days, and you know the community we were totally against this vessel coming into operation on the 1st of April. We're not happy with the contract that's been offered to us by Rinne Gaeltachta, and that's the reason that we're going to Dáil Éireann now on Wednesday, and we're hoping that we'll be able to come to some resolution. As yet, unfortunately, we haven't. We've been working very, very closely with Minister McHugh, with Rinne Gaeltachta officials, and with the contractors. And you know, we are all trying here. Just at the moment, we haven't been able to come to a suitable resolution.
Now, Minister McHugh committed a significant amount of money for a new ferry to be built. Obviously, that will take some time. Do we know, has work started on the construction of that new ferry yet, or what's the story?
No, work hasn't started as yet. Now, I was talking to Minister McHugh yesterday, and we are moving forward with that. We're hoping to have the first meeting next week. I'm very hopeful that boat will come. Unfortunately, we have the 1st of April fast approaching now. I would imagine the new boat's going to take probably 2 to 2.5 years for that to be built. So we do have a problem the 1st of April, and unfortunately, we're not happy with the service that they're offering.
Almost 6,000 jobs have been lost in the agri-food sector since the Brexit vote in June 2016. Food Drink Ireland, the IBEC group representing the industry, says exports to the UK has fallen by €570 million since then. It comes as a new report warns that Brexit could cause as much damage as the economic crash. The study, which will be discussed by Cabinet this week, says that depending on what type of Brexit emerges, the economy could shrink by as much as 7% by 2030. Kevin McPartland from Food Drink Ireland says the sector is facing an unprecedented challenge.
I don't think there is any way that we can stop there being an impact from Brexit. Clearly, it's our largest trading partner, certainly for the agri-food sector. Prepared consumer foods, 65% of all exports go to the UK. So anything that makes that more complicated is a problem. But we can manage that problem. We can mitigate the consequences. We can make sure that our relationship with the UK is as positive as possible. Yes, there is a threat, but we're managing the threat.
As the adverse weather continues to impact motorists across Donegal, it's been claimed that the council's gritting programme is too rigid, leaving many busy routes in Donegal in a treacherous state. While the programme covers an excess of 1,000 kilometres of road in Donegal, the council has said it's not feasible to grit 100% of the road network with the resources available. Speaking earlier today on the 9 till noon show, Councillor Patrick McGowan said in its current form the programme does not go far enough, especially with planned roadworks also taking place in various parts of the county. He's calling for more flexibility.
Even on the gridded roads, I've never seen as many cars off the road on the N15, the N13 and the N14. And these are actually the national primary roads. But as well as that, because there's so many diversions planned and unplanned on, let's say, for example, the N15, I'll say if half the cars are using the side roads and there's no provision to salt them in this case. Plus you have the unplanned or, for example, as you know yourself, going for an hour to Letterkenny, to Callan, where where that was planned. But the side roads end, the local people would have used as diversions. But what all of us is adding up is basically that at present the county salting programme is far too tight, it's too rigid, and there's no room for flexibility. And other than going up and down the same route all the time, and sometimes that doesn't work, it's just far too tight. There's not enough resources. If there's a breakdown, if one of the lorries broke down, if the driver was sick, if the machine broke, many years ago we had more lorries and more drivers. Now we've gone for bigger lorries carrying bigger loads, doing longer routes. But what happens is, if something goes wrong, and something can go wrong, then there's no provision.
Funding of almost €8 million has been confirmed for the Killybegs Harbour Centre. The works include electrical upgrades to the landing pier, safety and maintenance works, as well as necessary disability access works. Sean O'Donoghue is chief executive of the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation. He's welcoming the funding, which he says has been sought for some time.
We don't see this as the end of the funding, but it is a very important step in terms of extending the pier outwards and truly making Killybegs a really good fishery harbour centre, not alone from a fisheries point of view, but from a commercial point of view as well, and we certainly welcome this.
This is important because not only does it serve the existing fleet and serve the existing pier users, but also will hopefully serve to attract more people in, and that's good for the economy, that's good for everybody in the area.
It is, and we have worked hand in glove with the other interests, because under the auspices of the Department of Agricultural Food and the Marine, in terms of the management, is designated as the Fishery Harbour Centre. We do see that there is scope for the other commercial interests as well, and we have worked hand in glove to work on that, and I suppose the fruits of that now are coming to fruition, in that we're finally getting some funds, maybe not everything we want, but at least it is a good start.
In terms of the timescale for the development works, you'll be in contact obviously with the department, with the harbour authorities. How long do you think it's going to take for these works to be completed and for this project to be up and running?
As soon as possible, as far as we're concerned, we would certainly like to see these completed within the next 2 years.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale. Now on a station roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's 14 minutes past five. Time now for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games and yesterday's postponed All-Ireland or Alliance Football League Division 3 meeting of Derry and Offaly will be played this coming Sunday, the 17th of February. The game was one of a number of games that were called off due to wintry conditions. That tie will throw in at 2 o'clock at Celtic Park in Derry. With the venue now being used on Sunday, the Ulster Council have yet to confirm the host pitch for Saturday's McKenna Cup final. Was originally penciled in for Celtic Park, with Donegal playing neighbours Tyrone. An announcement is expected from the Ulster Council either tonight or on Tuesday. Also at 2 p.m. on Sunday, the refixed Division 3 Sligo Fermanagh game will be played. In Division 1, the meeting of Monaghan and Kerry has been refixed at the original venue of Inishkeen on Sunday afternoon with a 2:30 throw-in. And starting half an hour earlier at Kingspan, Breffni will be the twice-deferred Division 2 meeting of Cavan and Meath. Mickey Hart has head out at the national media for comments made on Tyrone's style of play. The Tyrone manager feels there is a constant agenda against Tyrone on how they play their football. Dublin and Galway in recent weeks are just two sides who have played an ultra-defensive structure in the league. He has called for the comments to be challenged as other sides, not just in Ulster, but around the country, have adapted the so-called men behind the ball style.
Well, we don't want to be sounding like victim people or anything, but I would ask all those who are independent and sort of objective observers just to see what's coming out there relentlessly, and I'd love somebody to challenge it, because it needs to be challenged. There's all signs of an agenda against Tyrone, where there's just this continuous talk of how many people we have behind the ball, and I watch many matches and I see the very same thing happening to other teams, but yet the count isn't on always. So, you know, maybe the people who are making all those comments and making them, as I say, relentlessly, might need to take a step back and see, are they really independent thinkers, or are they just having other people think for them?
Would that disappoint you, that there are people who probably aren't, or would appear not to be independent thinkers?
It disappoints me for sure, and it also disappoints me that people don't challenge them.
Yeah.
Those who are in a position to ask for more from the people who are making those comments often don't do that, and I think they'd need to start doing that, because I don't think a quality interviewer shouldn't listen to people saying things that there isn't substance to, and many of them get that opportunity and I haven't seen them yet challenge it.
Throne manager Mickey Hart. Well, former Footballer of the Year Bernard Brogan could be sidelined until 2019. The veteran Dublin forward is said to have torn his cruciate knee ligament. The five-time All-Ireland winner was due to start Sunday's Alliance League one over Donegal, but it was a late withdrawal having suffered the injury in training. Clare are considering an appeal after Jamie Malone was sent off during yesterday's Division 2 draw with Tipperary and Ennis. Malone was shown a straight red card following a sideline collision with Tip selector Shane Stapleton. Having had his head on the ground, Stapleton spent the night in hospital but is expected to make a full recovery. Chelsea will hope to return to winning ways in the Premier League tonight. The defending champions welcome bottom-of-the-table West Bromwich Albion to Stamford Bridge. Three-goal defeats to Bournemouth and Watford have left manager Antonio Conte on the verge of the sack. Baggies boss Alan Pardew thinks Conte will be able to turn things around.
I know Chelsea very, very well. I've watched from afar. It's somewhere that I've know the history of, and it can be a difficult club at times, and they have difficult periods, but they do come through them. I have great respect for the manager, and I think he'll come through it, no problem.
Kick-off time to that one is at 8 o'clock tonight. Well, 4 days out from the start of the new season, Shamrock Rovers have added more firepower to their squad. Striker Daniel Carr goes straight into the hip squad for Friday's trip to Bohemians after impressing while on trial with the club. Carr's last club was Karlstad in Sweden, and he's previously played with Huddersfield and Woking. To rugby now, Robbie Henshaw's Six Nations is over. The IRFU have confirmed that the centre underwent a procedure this morning after injuring his shoulder and scoring the second try against Italy on Saturday. An exact time frame for his return has not yet been revealed, but the Leinster man won't return before the St Patrick's Day showdown with England. Tadhg Furlong had a scan on a hamstring injury this morning but is expected to be fit for the visit off Wales. Jack Conan took a knock to the shoulder on Saturday but should be fine for a fortnight's time. The French squad were delayed from leaving Scotland earlier today after police stopped their plane at Edinburgh Airport. Officers wanted to speak to potential witnesses about a report of a sexual assault in the city early in the morning. Police Scotland says it's established no crimes being committed. The team eventually took off around 2 hours later than planned. And finally in golf, the 150th Open Championship will take place at St Andrews. The 2021 tournament was widely expected to return to the famous course, and organisers, the RNA, have now confirmed it as the venue. The tournament was last at the old course in 2015 when American Zach Johnson won the claret jug. And that is it from the sports desk for today. Michaela will be back with more as usual tomorrow morning after the 8 news.
Thanks, Oisin. For weather now, cloud will build from the west this evening with rain developing in western areas in fresh to strong and gusty southerly winds. Heavy rain with a risk of thunder will spread later this evening to affect all areas, falling as sleet and snow in places with lowest temperatures of -1 to +1 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a fresh appeal for information has been issued over the murder of a 27-year-old man in Castlefin 10 years ago today. Andrew Burns died after he was shot on the evening of the 12th of February 2008 at Donaghadee. The new courthouse in Letterkenny has been officially opened this afternoon by Minister for Justice Charlie Flanagan. Court sittings commence at the new building on the 2nd of January with a €20 million development, including 4 courtrooms and improved user facilities. As the adverse weather continues to impact motorists across Donegal, it's been claimed that the council's gridding programme is too rigid, leaving many busy routes in Donegal in a treacherous state. While the programme covers an excess of 1,000 kilometres of road in Donegal, the council has said it's not feasible to grid 100% of the road network with the resources available. And funding of almost €8 million has been confirmed for the Killybegs Harbour Centre. The works include electrical upgrades to the landing pier, safety and maintenance works, as well as necessary disability access works. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 12th of February. The sudden death has taken place at her home of Bernadette Bernie Henry, née Mullen, 7 Goshaddon Cottages, Ardmore, County Derry. Funeral from her brother's residence at 7 Pinewood Crescent, Clawdy, at a time to be confirmed. The death has taken place at Abergavenny Hospital of Benny McGrinder, 3 Chestnut Park, Strabane, and formerly of Lake Fordrum. His remains will repose at his home from 6:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10 to 11 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 11:30. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place at Silverdale Nursing Home of Julia Leahy, née Merchant, 30 Glen Road, Strabane, and formerly of Ballygally. Her remains will repose at her home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Silverdale Nursing Home Residence Comfort Fund, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place at Falkara Community Hospital of Margaret Callaghan, Tony, Ranlamona, Annagree. Her remains are reposing at her son Tony's home in Ranlamona. Removal from there on Wednesday afternoon at 12:30 for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, with burial afterwards in the new cemetery. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. House private, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Falkara Community Hospital, care of any family member, or Stephen O'Donnell and Sons Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Julia Barker, 13, The Cottages, Burnfoot. Her remains are reposing at Murphy's Funeral Home with viewing tomorrow evening from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Removal on Wednesday morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Fawn, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place at his residence of Brian Timoney, Knock Letcher, Fintown. His remains are reposing at his late home. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Wednesday in St Colum Kills Church, Fintown, with burial afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Bernadette Deeney, Ballybow, Rathmullen, and formerly of Scotland. Her remains will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Letterkenny, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. this evening. Removal to St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for Requiem Mass at 3 o'clock with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The death has taken place at his late residence of Danny Morrow, Kilrain, Glenties. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Removal from there tomorrow morning to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in Kilrain Cemetery. The death has taken place of Sandy Northey, Kinnego, Ballymagan, Buncrana, formerly of Glentoher, Carndonna. His remains are reposing at Kinnego, Ballymagan. Funeral from there on Wednesday, leaving his residence at 2:15 for service in Hillhead Presbyterian Church, Carndonna, at 2:30. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place at the Foyle Hospice of Julie McDermott, née Lynch. Funeral from her home at 14, Ardnalee, Coolmore Road, Derry, tomorrow morning at 10:20, going to St Patrick's Church, Ishkeheen, Muff, County Donegal, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Foyle Hospice, 61 Coolmore Road, Derry. The sudden death has taken place at his home of Seamus Blee, 11 Ahafad Road, Dunamana. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahabrack, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Peter Cunningham, Clockboy, Lochris Point, Ardra. His remains are reposing at his late residence at Clockboy. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has occurred at her late residence of Peggy McLean, Ard McCarron, Ballybuffet. Her remains will repose at her home until rosary tonight at 10 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder, with interment afterwards in St Mary's Churchyard, Sesha O'Neill. The death has taken place at her home of Elizabeth Deveny, née Connolly, 6 Gormley Crescent, Strabane, formerly of Blaine Ahearn. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Father William Maningi Holy Cross College Tanzania Project, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. And the death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of Tony Friel, Fahar Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow morning. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Harkins Funeral Directors, Creasla.